to be a glass of wine, and behind her, seated at the main table of the library, was Micah. Sandriel murmured, "He said he had a meeting." The camera was hidden inside one of the books, just above Bryce's head. Declan hit a few keys on his computer, pulling up that particular feed. Another keystroke and its audio filled the conference room. Bryce was saying over her shoulder, throwing Micah a casual smile. "Would you like some food with your wine? Cheese?" Micah lounged at the table, surveying a spread of books.
"That would be appreciated."
Bryce hummed, covertly typing on her phone as she fiddled on the refreshment cart. The next message to Jessica blared across the conference room screens, one word that had Hunt's blood going cold. Help. It was not a cheeky, charming plea, not as Bryce lifted her gaze to the camera. Fear shone there. Stark, bright fear. Every instinct in Hunt went on roaring alert.
"Governor," the Autumn King said to Sandriel, "I would like an explanation."
But before Sandriel could reply, Rune quietly ordered, with eyes glued to the feeds,
"Flynn, send an ox unit to Griffin Antiquities. Right now."
Flynn instantly had his phone out, fingers flying.
"Micah has not done anything wrong," Sandriel snapped at the Fey Prince, "except demonstrate his poor choice in females."
Hunt's snarl ripped from him. It would have earned him a whip of cold wind from Sandriel, he knew, had the sound not been hidden by matching snarls from Declan and Rune. Tristan Flynn was snapping at someone.
"Get over to Griffin Antiquities right now. Yes, in the old square. No, just go. That is a fucking order."
Rune barked another command at the Fey Lord, but Micah began speaking again.
"You've certainly been busy,"
Micah motioned to the table.
"Looking for a loophole."
Bryce swallowed as she began assembling a plate for Micah.
"Hunt is my friend." Those were law books on the table.
Hunt's stomach dropped to his feet.
"Ah, yes,"
Micah said, leaning back in his chair.
"I admire that about you."
"What the fuck is going on?"
Fury bit out.
"Loyal unto death and beyond,"
Micah continued.
"Even with all the proof in the world,
you still didn't believe Danica was little better than a drug-addicted whore."
Sabine and several wolves growled. Hunt heard Amelie Ravenscroft say to Sabine,
"We should send a wolf pack."
"All the top packs are here,"
Sabine murmured, eyes fixed on the feed.
"Every top security force is here. I only left a few behind."
But like a struck match, Bryce's entire countenance shifted. Fear pivoted into bright, sharp anger. Hunt ordinarily thrilled to see that blazing look. Not now.
"Use your fucking head,"
he silently begged her.
"Be smart."
Bryce let Micah's insult settle, surveying the platter of cheese and grapes she was assembling.
"Who knows what the truth is?"
she asked blandly.
"The philosophers in this library certainly had opinions on the matter."
"On Danica?"
"Don't play stupid."
Micah's smile widened. He gestured to the books around them.
"Do you know that harboring these volumes earns you a one-way ticket to execution?"
"Seems like a lot of fuss over some books."
"Humans died for these books,"
Micah purred, motioning to the shelves towering around them.
"Band titles, if I'm not mistaken. Many of them supposed to only exist in the Asteri archives. Evolution, mathematics, theories to disprove the superiority of the Vanir and Asteri. Some from philosophers people claimed existed before the Asteri arrived."
A soft, awful laugh.
Liars and heretics, who admitted they were wrong when the Asteri tortured them for the truth. They were burned alive with the heretical works used as kindling, and yet here they survive. All the knowledge of the ancient world. Of a world before Asteri, and theories of a world in which the Vanir are not your masters.
Interesting, Bryce said. She still did not turn to face him. Rune said to Jessaba,
What exactly is in that library?
Jessaba said nothing. Absolutely nothing. Her gray eyes promised cold death, though.
Micah went on, unwittingly answering the prince's question.
Do you even know what you are surrounded by, Bryce Quinlan? This is the great library of Parthos.
The words clanged through the room. Jessaba refused to so much as open her mouth. Bryce, to her credit, said,
Sounds like a lot of conspiracy theory crap. Parthos is a bedtime story for humans.
Micah chuckled.
Says the female with the Arkesian amulet around her neck. The amulet of the priestesses who once served and guarded Parthos. I think you know what's here. That you spend your days in the midst of all that remains of the library, after most of it burned at Vanir hands 15,000 years ago.
Hunt's stomach turned. He could have sworn a chill breeze drifted from Jessaba. Micah went on idly.
Did you know that during the first wars, when the Asteri gave the order, it was at Parthos that a doomed human army made its final stand against the Vanir, to save proof of what they were before the rifts opened, to save the books? 100,000 humans marched that day, knowing they would die and lose the war.
Micah's smile grew.
All to buy the priestess's time to grab the most vital volumes. They loaded them onto ships and vanished. I am curious to learn how they landed with Jessaba Roga.
The sorceress, watching her truth unfold on the screens, still did not speak, to acknowledge what had been suggested. Did it have something to do with why she'd left the witches, or why she'd joined the Underking? Micah leaned back in his seat, wings rustling.
I've long suspected that the remains of Parthos were housed here. A record of 2,000 years of human knowledge before the Asteri arrived. I took one look at some of the titles on the shelves and knew it to be true.
No one so much as blinked as the truth settled. But Jessaba pointed to the screens and said to Tristan Flynn, to Sabine, her voice shaking, Tell the Ox to move their fucking asses. Save those books. I beg you. Hunt ground his teeth. Of course the books were more important to her than Bryce.
The Ox shall do no such thing,
Sandriel said coldly. She smiled at Jessaba as the female went rigid.
And whatever Micah has in mind for your little assistant is going to look mild compared to what the Asteri do to you for harboring that lying rubbish.
But Bryce picked up the cheese tray and glass of wine.
Look, I only work here, Governor.
She faced Micah at last. She was wearing athletic clothes, leggings and a long-sleeved white t-shirt. Her neon pink sneakers shone like first light in the dim library.
Run,
Flynn urged to the screen, as if Bryce could hear him.
Fucking run, Bryce.
Sandriel glared at the Fey warrior.
You dare accuse a governor of foul play?
But doubt shone in her eyes. The Fey lord ignored her, his eyes again on the screens. Hunt couldn't move, not as Bryce set down the cheese platter, the wine, and said to Micah,
You came here looking for me. And here I am.
A half smile. That summit must have been a real bore. She crossed her arms behind her back, the portrait of casualness. She winked.
Are you going to ask me out again?
Micah didn't see the angle of the second feed that Declan pulled up, how her fingers began flicking behind her back, pointing to the stairs. A silent, frantic order to Lahaba and Syrinx to flee. Neither moved.
As you once said to me,
Micah replied smoothly,
I'm not interested.
Too bad.
Silence throbbed in the conference room. Bryce gestured again behind her back, her fingers shaking now. Please, those hands seemed to say. Please run, while he's distracted by me.
Have a seat,
Micah said, gesturing to the chair across the table.
We might as well be civilized about it.
Bryce obeyed, batting her eyelashes.
About what?
About you giving me Luna's horn.
Chapter 77. Bryce knew there was little chance of this ending well. But if Jessica had seen her messages, maybe it wouldn't be in vain. Maybe everyone would know what had happened to her. Maybe they could save the books if the protective spells on them held out against an archangel's wrath. Even if the gallery's enchantments had not. Bryce said smoothly to Micah,
I have no idea where the horn is.
His smile didn't waver.
Try again.
I have no idea where the horn is, Governor?
He braced his powerful forearms on the table.
Do you want to know what I think?
No, but you're going to tell me anyway.
Her heart raced and raced. Micah chuckled.
I think you figured it out. Likely at the same moment I did a few days ago.
I'm flattered you think I'm that smart.
Not you.
Another cold laugh.
Danica Fendir was the smart one. She stole the horn from the temple, and you knew her well enough to finally realize what she did with it.
Why would Danica have ever wanted the horn? Bryce asked innocently. It's broken.
It was cleaved, and I'm guessing you already learned what could repair it at last.
Her heart thundered as Micah growled.
Synth.
She got to her feet, her knees shaking only slightly.
Governor or not, this is private property. If you want to burn me at the stake with all these books, you'll need a warrant.
Bryce reached the steps. Syrinx and Lahaba hadn't moved, though.
Hand over the horn.
I told you, I don't know where it is.
She put one foot on the steps, and then Micah was there, his hand at the collar of her shirt. He hissed,
Do not lie.
Hunt staggered all of one step down the stairs before Sandriel stopped him, her wind shoving him back against the wall. It snaked down his throat, clamping onto his vocal cords, rendering him silent to watch what unfolded on the screens. Micah growled in Bryce's ear, more animal than angel.
Do you want to know how I figured it out?
She trembled as the governor ran a possessive hand down the curve of her spine. Hunt saw red at that touch, the entitlement in it, the sheer dread that widened her eyes. Bryce wasn't stupid enough to try to run as Micah ran his fingers back up her spine, intent in every stroke. Hunt's jaw clenched so hard it hurt, his breath coming out in great, bellowing pants. He'd kill him. He'd find a way to get free of Sandriel and fucking kill Micah for that touch. Micah trailed his fingers over the delicate chain of her necklace. A new one, Hunt realized. Micah purred, unaware of the camera mere feet away.
I saw the footage of you in the Comitium lobby. You gave your Arkesian amulet to Sandriel, and she destroyed it.
His broad hand clamped around her neck, and Bryce squeezed her eyes shut.
That's how I realized. How you realized the truth, too.
I don't know what you're talking about, Bryce whispered.
Micah's hand tightened, and it might as well have been his hand on Hunt's throat for all the difficulty he had breathing.
For 3 years, you wore that amulet. Every single day, every single hour. Danica knew that, knew you were without ambition, too, and would never have the drive to leave this job. And thus, never take off the amulet.
You're insane, Bryce managed to say.
Am I? Then explain to me why, within an hour after you took off the amulet, that Crystallos demon attacked you.
Hunt stilled. A demon had attacked her that day? He found Rune's stare, and the prince nodded, his face deathly pale.
We got to her in time, was all Dannon said to him, mind to mind.
Bad luck? Bryce tried.
Micah didn't so much as smile, his hand still clamped on her neck.
You don't just have the horn. You are the horn.
His hand again ran down her back.
You became its bearer the night Danica had it ground into a fine powder, mixed it with witch ink, and then got you so drunk you didn't ask questions when she had it tattooed onto your back.
What?
Fury Axtar barked. Holy fucking gods. Hunt bared his teeth, still forbidden from speaking. But Bryce said,
Cool as that sounds, Governor, this tattoo says...
The language is beyond that of this world. It is the language of universes, and it spells out a direct command to activate the horn through a blast of raw power upon the tattoo itself. Just as it once did for the Starborn Prince. You may not possess his gifts like your brother, but I believe your bloodline and the synth shall compensate for it when I use my power upon you. To fill the tattoo, to fill you with power, is, in essence, to blow the horn.
Bryce's nostrils flared.
Blow me, asshole.
She snapped her head back, fast enough that even Micah couldn't stop the collision of her skull with his nose. He stumbled, buying her time to twist and flee. His hand didn't let go, though, and with a shove, her shirt ripping down the back, Micah hurled her to the floor. Hunt's shout was lodged in his throat, but runes echoed through the conference room as Bryce skidded across the carpet. Lahaba screamed as Syrinx roared, and Bryce managed to snap, Hide! But the archangel halted, surveying the woman sprawled on the floor before him. The tattoo down her back, Luna's horn contained within its dark ink. Bryce scrambled to her feet, as if there were anywhere to go, anywhere to hide from the governor and his terrible power. She made it across the room, to the steps up to the mezzanine. Micah moved fast as the wind. He wrapped a hand around her ankle and tossed her across the room. Bryce's scream as she collided with the wood table and it shattered beneath her was the worst sound Hunt had ever heard. Rune breathed, He's going to fucking kill her. Bryce crawled backward through the debris of the table, blood running from her mouth as she whispered to Micah,
You killed Danica and the pack.
Micah smiled.
I enjoyed every second of it.
The conference room shook, or maybe that was just Hunt himself. And then the archangel was upon her, and Hunt couldn't bear it, the sight of him grabbing Bryce by the neck and throwing her across the room again, into those shelves.
Where is the fucking ox?
Rune screamed at Flynn, at Sabine, but her eyes were wide, stunned. So slowly, Bryce crawled backward, up the mezzanine stairs again, clawing at the books to heave herself along. A gash leaked blood onto her leggings, bone gleaming beneath a protruding shard of wood. She panted, half sobbing,
Why?
Mahaba had crept to the metal bathroom door in the back of the library and managed to open it, as if silently signaling Bryce to get there, so they could lock themselves inside until help arrived.
Did you learn, in all your research, that I am an investor in Redner Industries? That I have access to all its experiments.
Oh, fuck,
Isaiah said from across the pit.
And did you ever learn,
Micah went on,
what Danica did for Redner Industries?
Bryce still crawled backward up the stairs. There was nowhere to go, though. She did part-time security work.
Is that how she sanitized it for you?
He smirked.
Danica tracked down the people that Redner wanted her to find. People who didn't want to be found. Including a group of Ophian rebels who had been experimenting with a formula for synthetic magic. To assist in the humans' treachery. They dug into long-forgotten history and learned that the Crystallos demon's venom nullified magic. Our magic. So these clever rebels decided to look into why, isolating the proteins that were targeted by that venom, the source of magic. Redner's human spies tipped him off, and out Danica went to bring in the research and the people behind it.
Bryce gasped for breath, still slowly crawling upward. No one spoke in the conference room as she said, The Asteri don't approve of synthetic magic. How did Redner even get away with doing the research on it? Hunt shook. She was buying herself time. Micah seemed all too happy to indulge her.
Because Redner knew the Asteri would shut down any synthetic magic research, that I would shut their experiments down. They spun synth experiments as a drug for healing. Redner invited me to invest. The earliest trials were a success. With it, humans could heal faster than with any medwitch or fey power. But later trials did not go according to plan. Vanir, we learned, went out of their minds when given it, and humans who took too much synth. Well, Danica used her security clearance to steal footage of the trials, and I suspect she left it for you, didn't she?
Burning soulless, up and up, Bryce crawled along the stairs, fingers scrabbling over those ancient, precious books. How did she learn what you were really up to?
She always stuck her nose where it didn't belong, always wanting to protect the meek.
From monsters like you, Bryce spat, still inching upward, still buying herself time.
Micah's smile was hideous. She made no secret that she kept an eye on the synth trials, because she was keen to find a way to help her weak, vulnerable, half-human friend. You, who would inherit no power. She wondered if it might give you a fighting chance against the predators who rule this world. And when she saw the horrors the synth could bring about, she became concerned for the test subjects. Concerned for what it'd do to humans if it leaked into the world. But Redner's employees said Danica had her own research there, too. No one knew what, but she spent time in their labs outside of her own duties.
All of it had to be on the flash drive Bryce had found. Hunt prayed she'd put it somewhere safe, wondered what other bombshells might be on it. Bryce said, She was never selling the synth on that boat, was she?
No. By that point, I'd realized I needed someone with unrestricted access to the temple to take the horn. I would be too easily noticed. So when she stole the synth trial footage, I had my chance to use her.
Bryce made it up another step. You dumped the synth into the streets.
Micah kept trailing her. Yes, I knew Danica's constant need to be the hero would send her running after it to save the lowlifes of Lunathian from destroying themselves with it. She got most of it, but not all. When I told her I'd seen her on the river, when I claimed no one would believe the party princess was trying to get drugs off the streets, her hands were tied. I told her I'd forget about it if she did one little favor for me at just the right moment.
You caused the blackout that night she stole the horn.
I did, but I underestimated Danica. She'd been wary of my interest in the synth long before I leaked it onto the streets, and when I blackmailed her into stealing the horn, she must have realized the connection between the two. That the horn could be repaired by synth.
So you killed her for it? Another step, another question to buy herself time.
I killed her because she hid the horn before I could repair it with the synth, and thus help my people.
I'd think your power alone would be enough for that, Bryce said, as if trying flattery to save herself. The Archangel looked truly sad for a moment.
Even my power is not enough to help them, to keep war from Valbara's shores. For that, I need help from beyond our own world. The horn will open a portal and allow me to summon an army to decimate the human rebels and end their wanton destruction.
What world? Bryce asked, blanching. Hell?
Hell would resist kneeling to me. But ancient lore whispers of other worlds that exist, that would bow to a power like mine, and bow to the horn.
He smiled, cold as a deep sea fish.
The one who possesses the horn at full power can do anything. Perhaps establish oneself as an Asteri.
Their power is born, not made, Bryce snapped, even as her face turned ashen.
With the horn, you would not need to inherit a star's might to rule, and the Asteri would recognize that. Welcome me as one of them.
Another soft laugh. You killed those two CCU students.
No. They were slaughtered by a satyr high on synth, while Danica was busy stealing the horn that night. I'm sure the guilt of it ate her up.
Bryce was shaking. Hunt was, too. So, you went to the apartment and killed her and the pack of devils?
I waited until Philip Briggs was released.
She murmured. He had the black salt in his lab that would incriminate him.
Yes. Once he was again on the streets, I went to Danica's apartment, your apartment, disabled the pack of devils with my power, and injected her with the synth, and watched as she ripped them apart before turning on herself.
Bryce was crying in earnest now. She didn't tell you, though, where the horn was.
Micah shrugged. She held out.
And what? You summoned the Crystallos afterward to cover your tracks? Let it attack you in the alley to keep your Triari from suspecting you? Or just to give yourself a reason to monitor this case so closely without raising any eyebrows? And then you waited 2 fucking years?
He frowned. I have spent these past 2 years looking for the horn, calling Crystallos demons to track it down for me, but I couldn't find a trace of it, until I realized I didn't have to do the legwork, because you, Bryce Quinlan, were the key to finding the horn. I knew Danica had hidden it somewhere, and you, if I gave you a chance for vengeance, would lead me to it. All my power couldn't find it, but you loved her, and the power of your love would bring the horn to me, would fuel your need for justice and lead you right to it.
He snorted.
But there was a chance you might not get that far, not alone, so I planted a seed in the mind of the Autumn King.
Everyone in the room looked to the stone-faced male. Rune growled at his father.
He played you like a fucking fiddle.
The Autumn King's amber eyes flashed with white-hot rage, but Micah went on before he could speak.
I knew a bit of taunting about the Fae's waning power, about the loss of the horn, would rankle his pride just enough for him to order his starborn son to look for it.
Bryce let out a long breath. So if I couldn't find it, then Rune might.
Rune blinked.
Every time I went to look for the horn,
he paled.
I always had the urge to go to Bryce.
He twisted in his seat to meet Hunt's stare and said to him mind to mind,
I thought it was the gallery, some knowledge in there, but fuck, it was her.
Your starborn connection to her and the horn must have overcome even the masking power of the Arkesian amulet, Hunt answered.
That's quite a bond, Prince.
Bryce demanded, and summoning the Crystallos these months? The murders?
Micah drawled, I summoned the Crystallos to nudge you both along, making sure it kept just enough out of camera range, knowing its connection to the horn would lead you toward it. Injecting Tertian, the Acolyte, and the Temple Guard with the synth, letting them rip themselves apart, was also to prompt you. Tertian to give us an excuse to come to you for this investigation, and the others to keep pointing you toward the horn. I targeted two people from the temple that were on duty the night Danica stole it.
And the bombing at the White Raven, with an image of the horn on the crate, another nudge?
Yes, and to raise suspicions that humans were behind everything. I planted bombs throughout the city, in places I thought you might go. When Athalar's phone location pinged at the club, I knew the gods were helping me along, so I remotely detonated it.
I could have died.
Maybe, but I was willing to bet Athalar would shield you. And why not cause a little chaos to stir more resentment between the humans and Vanir? It would only make it easier to convince others of the wisdom of my plan to end this conflict, especially at a cost most would deem too high.
Hunt's head swam. No one in the room spoke.
Bryce slowed her retreat as she winced in pain.
And the apartment building? I thought it was Hunt, but it wasn't, was it? It was you.
Yes. Your landlord's request went to all of my triari, and to me. I knew Danica had left nothing there, but by that time, Bryce Quinlan. I was enjoying watching you squirm. I knew Athalar's plan to acquire the synth would soon be exposed, and I took a guess that you'd be willing to believe the worst of him. That he'd used the lightning in his veins to endanger innocent people. He's a killer. I thought you might need a reminder. That it played into Athalar's guilt was an unexpected boon.
Hunt ignored the eyes that glanced his way. The fucking asshole had never planned to honor his bargain. If he'd solved the case, Micah would have killed him. Killed them both. He'd been played like a fucking fool.
Bryce asked, voice raw.
When did you start to think it was me?
That night, it attacked Athalar in the garden. I realized only later that he'd probably come into contact with one of Danica's personal items, which must have come into contact with the horn.
Hunt had touched Danica's leather jacket that day, gotten its scent on him.
Once I got Athalar off the streets, I summoned the Crystallos again,
and it went right to you.
The only thing that had changed was that you finally, finally took that amulet off, and then...
He chuckled.
I looked at Hunt Athalar's photos of your time together, including that one of your back. The tattoo you had inked there, days before Danica's death, according to the list of Danica's last locations Rune Danon sent to you and Athalar, whose account is easily accessible to me.
Bryce's fingers curled into the carpet, as if she'd sprout claws. How do you know the horn will even work now that it's in my back?
The horn's physical shape doesn't matter. Whether it is fashioned as a horn or a necklace or a powder mixed with witch ink, its power remains.
Hunt silently swore. He and Bryce had never visited the tattoo parlor. Bryce had said she knew why Danica was there.
Micah went on. Danica knew the Arkesian amulet would hide you from any detection, magical or demonic. With that amulet, you were invisible to the Crystallos, bred to hunt the horn. I suspect she knew that Jessica Roga has similar enchantments upon this gallery, and perhaps Danica placed some upon your apartments, your old one and the one she left to you, to make sure you would be even more veiled from it.
Hunt scanned the gallery camera feeds from the street. Where the fuck was the ox? Bryce spat. And you thought no one would figure this out? What about Briggs's testimony?
Briggs is a raving fanatic who'd been caught by Danica before a planned bombing. No one would listen to his pleas of innocence.
Especially when his lawyer had been provided by Micah. Bryce glanced up at the camera, as if checking that it was on. Sabine whispered,
"She's been leading him along to get a full confession."
Despite the terror tightening his body, pride flared through Hunt. Micah smiled again.
"So, here we are."
"You're a piece of shit," Bryce said. But then Micah reached into his jacket pocket, pulled out a needle full of clear liquid.
"Calling me names isn't going to stop me from using the horn."
Hunt's breath sawed through his chest. Micah advanced on her.
"The horn's remnants are now embedded in your flesh. When I inject you with synth, the healing properties in it will target and fix whatever it finds to be broken, and the horn will again be whole, ready for me to learn if it works at last."
"You'd risk opening a portal to another fucking world in the middle of Crescent City?" she spat, inching farther away. "Just to learn if it works?"
"If I am correct, the benefits shall far outweigh any casualties,"
Micah answered mildly, as a bead of liquid gleamed on the syringe's tip.
"Too bad you will not survive the synth side effects in order to see for yourself."
Bryce lunged for a book on a low-lying shelf along the stairs, but Micah halted her with a leash of wind. Her face crumpled as the archangel knelt over her.
"No."
This couldn't happen. Hunt couldn't let this happen. But Bryce could do nothing. Hunt could do nothing as Micah stabbed the needle into her thigh, drained it to the hilt. She screamed, thrashing, but Micah stepped back. His power must have lessened its hold on her, because she sagged to the carpeted steps. The bastard glanced at the clock, assessing how much time remained until she tore herself apart. And slowly, the wounds on her battered body began to seal. Her split lip healed fully, though the bone-deep gash in her thigh knit far more slowly. Smiling, Micah reached for the tattoo on her exposed back.
"Shall we?"
But Bryce moved again, and this time Micah's power didn't catch her before she grabbed a book from the shelf and clutched it tight. Golden light erupted from the book, a bubble against which Micah's hand bounced harmlessly off. He pushed. The bubble would not yield. Thank the gods. If it could buy her just a few more minutes until help came. But what could an ox pack do against an archangel? Hunt strained against his invisible bonds. Scoured his memory for anything that could be done, anyone left in the fucking city who might help.
"Very well,"
Micah said, that smile remaining as he again tested the golden barrier.
"There are other ways to get you to yield."
Bryce was shaking in her golden bubble. Hunt's heart stopped as Micah strode down the mezzanine steps, heading straight for where Syrinx cowered behind the couch.
"No,"
Bryce breathed. "No!" The chimera thrashed, biting at the archangel, who grabbed him by the scruff of his neck. Bryce dropped the book. The golden bubble vanished, but when she tried to rise on her still-healing leg, it collapsed. Even the synth couldn't heal fast enough for it to bear weight. Micah just carried Syrinx along, over to the tank.
Please! Bryce screamed. Again, she tried to move. Again, again, again. But Micah didn't even falter as he opened the door to the small stairs that led to the top of the Nox tank. Bryce's screaming was unending. Declan switched the feed over to a camera atop the tank, just as Micah flipped open the feeding hatch and threw Syrinx into the water.
Chapter 78. He couldn't swim. Syrinx couldn't swim. He didn't stand a chance of getting out, getting free of the knock. From her angle below, Bryce could only glimpse the bottoms of Syrinx's frantic, desperate legs as he struggled to stay at the surface. She dropped the book, the golden bubble rupturing, and tried to rise to her feet. Micah emerged from the door to the tank stairwell. His power hit her a moment later. It flipped her, pinning her face down on the carpeted stairs, exposing her back to him. She writhed, the ebbing pain in her legs secondary to the tingling numbness creeping through her blood. Syrinx was drowning. He was... Micah loomed over her. She stretched her arm out toward the shelf. Her tingling fingers brushed over the titles. On the Divine Number, The Walking Dead, The Book of Breathings, The Queen with Many Faces. Syrinx was thrashing and thrashing, still fighting so hard. And then Micah sent a blast of white-hot flame straight into her back, into the horn. She screamed, even as the fire didn't burn, but rather absorbed into the ink, raw power filling her, flame turning to ice and cracking through her blood like shifting glaciers. The air in the room seemed to suck in on itself, tighter and tighter and tighter. It blasted outward in a violent ripple. Bryce screamed, hoarfrost in her veins sizzling into burning agony. Upstairs, glass shattered. Then nothing. Nothing. She shuddered on the ground, tingling ice and searing flame spasming through her. Micah looked around, waited. Bryce could barely breathe, trembling as she waited for a portal to open, for some hole to another world to appear. But nothing occurred. Disappointment flickered in Micah's eyes before he said, "Interesting." The word told her enough. He'd try again, and again. It wouldn't matter if she was alive or a pile of self-destructed pulp. Her body would still bear the horn's ink, the horn itself. He'd lug around her corpse if he had to until he found a way to open a portal to another world. She'd figured it out in the hours after the Crystallos' attack at the docks, when she'd seen herself in the mirror, and began to suspect that the tattoo on her back was not in any alphabet she knew, because it was not an alphabet, not one from Midgard. She'd looked again at all the locations Danica had visited that week, and saw that only the tattoo shop had gone unchecked. Then she'd realized the amulet was gone, and she had been attacked. Just as Hunt had been attacked by the Crystallos in the park after he'd touched Danica's jacket in the gallery. Touched Danica's scent, full of the horn. Bryce strained, hauling herself against the invisible grip of Micah's power. Her fingers brushed a dark purple book spine. Syrinx, Syrinx, Syrinx.
Maybe carving the horn from you will be more effective, Micah murmured.
A knife hummed free from its sheath at his thigh.
This will hurt, I'm afraid.
Bryce's finger hooked on the lip of the book's spine.
Please.
It did not move. Micah knelt over her.
Please,
she begged the book.
Please.
It slid toward her fingers. Bryce whipped the book from its shelf and splayed open its pages. Greenish light blasted from it, right into Micah's chest. It sent him rocketing back across the library, a clear shot to the open entry to the bathroom. To where Lahaba waited in the shadows of the bathroom door, a small book in her own hands, whose pages she opened to unleash another blast of power against the door, propelling it shut. The book's power hissed over the bathroom door, sealing it tight, locking the archangel within. Rune had not woken up this morning expecting to watch his sister die. And his father. Rune's father said nothing at the horror that unfolded. For three heartbeats, Bryce lay on the steps as the last of her legs stitched itself together, while she stared at the shut bathroom door. It might have been funny, the idea of locking a near god inside a bathroom, had it not been so fucking terrifying. A strangled voice growled behind Rune.
Help her.
Hunt. The muscles of his neck were bulging, fighting Sandriel's grip on him. Indeed, Hunt's eyes were on Sandriel as he snarled,
Help her!
The metal bathroom door, even with the book's power sealing it, wouldn't hold Micah for long. Minutes, if that. And the synth in Bryce's system? How long did she have until she turned herself into bloody ribbons? Mahava rushed over to Bryce, just as Hunt again growled at Sandriel,
Go stop him.
No matter that even at ungodly speeds, it would take Sandriel an hour to fly there. 30 minutes by helicopter. A choking sound filled the air as Sandriel clamped down on her power, silencing Hunt's voice.
This is Micah's territory. I do not have the authority to intervene in his business.
Athalar still managed to get out, dark eyes blazing.
Fuck you.
All of Sandriel's triari fixed their lethal attention on Hunt. He didn't seem to give a shit, though. Not as Bryce gasped to Lahaba,
Get the tank's feeding dock running!
The gaping wound in her thigh finally sealed shut, thanks to the synth shooting through her blood. And then Bryce was up and running. The bathroom door shuddered. She didn't so much as look back as she sprinted, still limping, for the stairs to the tank. She grabbed a knife off the ground, Micah's knife. Rune had to remind himself to take a breath as Bryce hit the stairs, ripping a piece from her torn shirt, wrapping it around her thigh to bind the knife to her, a makeshift sheath. Declan switched the feed to the small chamber atop the tank, the water sloshing through the grated door. A 3-foot square in the center opened into the gloom, the small platform on a chain anchored to the top of the tank. Lahaba floated at the controls.
It's not attacking him, the sprite wept. Ciri's just limp there. He's dead.
Bryce knelt and began taking swift, deep breaths. Fast, fast, fast.
What's she doing? Queen Hypaxia asked. She's hyperventilating, Therian murmured back, to get more air into her lungs.
Bryce,
Lahaba pleaded.
It's a...
But then Bryce sucked in one last mighty breath and plunged beneath the surface. Into the Nox lair. The feeding platform dropped with her, chain unraveling into the gloom, and as it raced past Bryce, she gripped the iron links, swimming down, down, down. Bryce had no magic, no strength nor immortality to shield her. Not against the knock in the tank with her, not against the Archangel, likely only a minute away from breaking through that bathroom door, not against the synth that would destroy her if the rest didn't. His sister. His brash, wild sister knew all that and still went to save her friend.
It's her ordeal, Flynn murmured. This is her fucking ordeal.
Chapter 79. The frigid water threatened to snatch the precious little breath from her lungs. Bryce refused to think of the cold, of the lingering pain in her healed leg, of the two monsters in this library with her. One, at least, had been contained behind the bathroom door. The other. Bryce kept her focus on Syrinx, refusing to let her terror take over, to let it rob her of her breath as she reached the Chimera's limp body. She would not accept this, not for a moment. Her lungs began burning, a growing tightness that she fought against, as she bore Syrinx back toward the feeding platform, her lifeline out of the water and away from the knock. Her fingers latched into the chain links as the dock rose back toward the surface. Lungs constricting, Bryce held Syrinx on the platform, letting it propel them up, up. From the shadows of the rocks at the bottom, the knock burst forth. It was already smiling. The Nock knew she'd come for Syrinx. It had been watching her in the library for weeks now. But the feeding platform broke the surface, Bryce with it, and she gasped down sweet, life-saving air as she heaved Syrinx over the edge, and gasped to Lahaba,
Chest compressions!
Clawed hands wrapped around her ankles, slicing her skin as they yanked her back. her brow smashed into the metal rim of the platform, before the cold water swallowed her once more. Hunt couldn't breathe as the knock slammed Bryce into the glass of the tank so hard it cracked. The impact shook her from her stunned stupor, just as the knock snapped for her face. She dodged left, but it still had its talons on her shoulders, cutting into her skin. She reached for the knife she'd tied to her thigh. The knock grabbed the knife from her hands, tossing it into the watery gloom. This was it. This was how she'd die. Not at Micah's hand, not from the synth in her body, but by being ripped to shreds by the knock. Hunt could do nothing, nothing, nothing as it again snapped for her face. Bryce moved again, lunging not for a hidden weapon, but another sort of attack. She punched her right hand low into the knock's abdomen and dug inside the nearly invisible front fold. It happened so fast, Hunt wasn't sure what she'd done, until she twisted her wrist and the knock arched in pain. Bubbles leaked from Bryce's mouth as she wrenched its balls harder. Every male in the pit flinched. The knock let go, falling to the bottom. It was the opening Bryce needed. She drifted back against the cracked glass, braced her legs, and pushed. It launched her into the open water. Blood from her head wound streamed in her wake, even as the synth healed the gash and prevented the blow from rendering her unconscious. The platform dropped into the water again. Lahaba had sent it down. A final lifeline. Bryce dolphin kicked for it, her arms pointed in front of her. Blood swirled with each undulating kick. At the rocky bottom of the tank, the knock had recovered and now bared its teeth up at the fleeing woman. Molten rage gleamed in its milky eyes.
Swim, Bryce, Therian growled. Don't look back.
The platform hit its lowest level. Bryce swam, her teeth gritted. The instinct to take a breath had to be horrendous.
Come on, Hunt prayed. Come on.
Bryce's fingers wrapped around the bottom of the platform, then the rim. The knock charged up from the depths, fury and death blazing in its monstrous face.
Don't stop, Bryce,
Fury Axtar warned the screen. Bryce didn't. Hand by hand by hand, she climbed the ascending chain, fighting for each foot gained toward the surface. 10 feet from the top, the knock reached the platform base. 5, the knock shot up the chain, closing in on her heels. Bryce broke the surface with a sharp gasp, her arms grappling, hauling, hauling. She got her chest out, her stomach, her legs. The knock's hands broke from the water, reaching. But Bryce had cleared its range and now panted, dripping water into the churning surface beneath the grated floor, head healed without a trace. The knock, unable to stand the touch of the air, dropped beneath the surface just as the feeding platform halted, sealing access to the water beneath.
Fucking hell,
Fury whispered, running her shaking hands over her face.
Fucking hell.
Bryce rushed to the unresponsive syrinx and demanded from Lahaba, anything?
No, it's...
Bryce began chest compressions, 2 fingers on the center of the Chimera's sodden chest. She closed his jaws and blew into his nostrils, did it again, again, again. She didn't speak, didn't beg any of the gods as she tried to resuscitate him. On a feed across the room, the bathroom door fizzled beneath Micah's assaults. She had to get out, had to run now, or she'd be ruptured into shards of bone. Bryce stayed, kept fighting for the Chimera's life.
Can you speak through the audio? Rune asked Declan and Jessaba. Can you patch us through?
He pointed to the screen.
Tell her to get the fuck out now,
Jessaba said quietly, her face ashen.
It's only one way.
Bryce kept up the chest compressions, her soaking hair dripping, her skin bluish in the light from the tank, as if she were a corpse herself. And scrawled on her back, cut off only by her black sports bra, the horn. Even if she got free of the gallery, if she somehow survived the synth, Micah would. Syrinx thrashed, vomiting water. Bryce let out a sob, but turned the Chimera over, letting him cough it out. He convulsed, vomiting again, gasping for every breath. Mahaba had dragged a shirt up the steps from one of the desk drawers. She handed it to her, and Bryce swapped it with her ruined shirt before gathering the still-weak syrinx in her arms and trying to stand. She moaned in pain, nearly dropping Syrinx as her leg gushed blood into the water below. Hunt had been so focused on the head wound, he hadn't seen the knock slash her calf, where the flesh visible through her leggings remained half-shredded, still slowly healing. The knock must have dug its claws into the bone. If the injury was so severe, the synth was still stitching it together. Bryce said, "We have to run, now, before he gets out." She didn't wait for Lahaba to reply as she managed to get upright, carrying Syrinx. She limped, badly, and she moved so, so slowly toward the stairs. The bathroom door heated again, the metal red hot as Micah attempted to melt his way through. Bryce panted through her teeth, a controlled hiss, hiss, hiss with each step, trying to master the pain the synth hadn't yet taken away, trying to drag a 30-pound chimera down a set of steps on a shredded leg. The bathroom door pulsed with light, sparks flying from its cracks. Bryce reached the library, took a limping step toward the main stairs up to the showroom, and whimpered.
"Leave it,"
the Autumn King growled.
"Leave the chimera."
Hunt knew, even before Bryce took another step, that she would not, that she'd rather have her back peeled off by an archangel than leave Syrinx behind. And he could see that Lahaba knew it, too. Bryce was a third of the way up the stairs, sparks flying from the seams of the bathroom door across the library behind them, when she realized Lahaba was not with her. Bryce halted, gasping around the pain in her calf that even the synth could not dull, and looked back at the base of the library stairs.
"Forget the books, Lahaba," she pleaded.
If they survived, she'd kill Jessaba for even making the sprite hesitate, kill her. Yet Lahaba did not move.
"Lahaba,"
Bryce said, the name in order. Lahaba said softly, sadly,
"You won't make it in time, Bibi."
Bryce took one step up, pain flaring up her calf. Each movement kept ripping it open, an uphill battle against the synth attempting to heal her, before it'd rip apart her sanity. She swallowed her scream and said,
"We have to try."
"Not we,"
Lahaba whispered.
"You."
Bryce felt her face drain of any remaining color.
"You can't,"
her voice cracked.
"I can,"
Lahaba said.
"The enchantments won't hold him much longer. Let me buy you time."
Bryce kept moving, gritting her teeth. "We can figure this out. We can get out together."
"No."
Bryce looked back to find Lahaba smiling softly, still at the base of the stairs.
"Let me do this for you, Bibi. For you, and for Syrinx."
Bryce couldn't stop the sob that wrenched its way out of her.
"You're free, Lahaba."
The words rippled through the library as Bryce wept.
"I traded with Jessaba for your freedom last week. I have the papers in my desk. I wanted to throw a party for it, to surprise you."
The bathroom door began warping, bending. Bryce sobbed.
"I bought you, and now I set you free, Lahaba."
Lahaba's smile didn't falter.
"I know,"
she said.
"I peeked in your drawer."
And despite the monster trying to break loose behind them, Bryce choked on a laugh before she begged.
"You are a free person. You do not have to do this. You are free, Lahaba."
Yet Lahaba remained at the foot of the stairs.
"Then let the world know that my first act of freedom was to help my friends."
Syrinx shifted in Bryce's arms, a low, pained sound breaking from him. Bryce thought it might be the sound her own soul was making as she whispered, unable to bear this choice, this moment.
"I love you, Lahaba."
The only words that ever mattered.
"And I will love you always, Bibi,"
the fire sprite breathed.
"Go!"
So Bryce did. Gritting her teeth, a scream breaking from her, Bryce heaved herself and Syrinx up the stairs, toward the iron door at the top, and whatever time it'd buy them, if the synth didn't destroy her first. The bathroom door groaned. Bryce glanced back, just once, to the friend who had stayed by her when no one else had, who had refused to be anything but cheerful, even in the face of the darkness that had swallowed Bryce whole. Lahaba burned a deep, unfaltering ruby and began to move. First, a sweep of her arm upward, then an arc down, a twirl, hair spiraling above her head, a dance to summon her power, whatever kernel of it a fire sprite might have. A glow spread along Lahaba's body. So Bryce climbed, and with each painful step upward, she could hear Lahaba whisper, almost chanting,
I am a descendant of Ranthia Drawl, Queen of Embers. She is with me now, and I am not afraid.
Bryce reached the top of the stairs. Lahaba whispered,
My friends are behind me, and I will protect them.
Screaming, Bryce shoved the library door until it clanged shut, the enchantment sealing, cutting off Lahaba's voice with it, and Bryce leaned against it, sliding to the floor as she sobbed through her teeth. Bryce had made it up to the showroom and locked the iron door behind her. Thank the gods for that. Thank the fucking gods. Yet Hunt couldn't take his eyes off the library feed, where Lahaba still moved, still summoned her power, repeating the words over and over.
I am a descendant of Ranthia Drawl, Queen of Embers. She is with me now, and I am not afraid.
Lahaba glowed, bright as the heart of a star.
My friends are behind me, and I will protect them.
The top of the bathroom door began to curl open, and Lahaba unleashed her power, three blows, perfectly aimed. Not to the bathroom door and Archangel behind it. No, Lahaba couldn't slow Micah, but 100,000 gallons of water would. Lahaba's shimmering blasts of power slammed into the glass tank, right on top of the crack that Bryce had made when the knock threw her into it. The creature, sensing the commotion, rose from the rocks and recoiled in horror as Lahaba struck again, again. The glass cracked further, and then Lahaba hurled herself against it, pushed her tiny body against the crack. She kept whispering the words over and over again. They morphed together into one sentence, a prayer, a challenge.
My friends are with me, and I am not afraid.
Hunt wrested control of his body enough that he was able to put a hand over his heart, the only salute he could make as Lahaba's words whispered through the speakers.
My friends are with me, and I am not afraid.
One by one, the angels in the 33rd rose to their feet, then Rune and his friends, and they too put their hands on their hearts as the smallest of their house pushed and pushed against the glass wall, burning gold, as the knock tried to flee to any place it might survive what was about to come. Over and over, Lahaba whispered,
My friends are with me, and I am not afraid.
The glass spider webbed. Everyone in the conference room rose to their feet. Only Sandriel, her attention fixed on the screen, did not notice. They all stood and bore witness to the sprite who brought her death down upon herself, upon the knock, to save her friends. It was all they could offer her, this final respect and honor. Mahaba still pushed, still shook with terror, yet she did not stop, not for one heartbeat.
My friends are with me, and I am not afraid.
The bathroom door tore open, metal curling aside to reveal Micah, glowing as if newly forged, as if he'd rend this world apart. He surveyed the library, eyes landing on Lahaba and the cracked tank wall. The sprite whirled, back pressed against the glass. She hissed at Micah.
This is for Syrinx.
She slammed her little burning palm into the glass. And 100,000 gallons of water exploded into the library. Chapter 80. Flashing red lights erupted, casting the world into flickering color. A roar rose from below, the gallery shuddering. Bryce knew. She knew the tank had exploded, and that Lahaba had been wiped away with it. Knew the knock, exposed to the air, had been killed too. Knew that Micah would only be slowed for so long. Syrinx was still whimpering in her arms. Glass littered the gallery floor. The window to Jessica's office shattered a level above. Lahaba was dead. Bryce's fingers curled into claws at her side. The red light of the warning alarms washed over her vision. She welcomed the synth into her heart, every destructive, raging, frozen ounce of it. Bryce crawled for the front door, broken glass tinkling. Power, hollow and cold, thrummed at her fingertips. She grabbed the handle and hoisted herself upright, yanked the door open to the golden light of late afternoon. But she did not go through it. That was not what Lahaba had bought her time to do. Hunt knew Lahaba was killed instantly, as surely as a torch plunged into a bucket of water. The tidal wave threw the knock onto the mezzanine, where it thrashed, choking on the air as it ate away its skin. It even blasted Micah back into the room. Hunt just stared and stared. The sprite was gone. Shit, Rune was whispering.
Where's Bryce?
Fury asked. The main floor of the gallery was empty. The front door lay open, but...
Holy fuck,
Flynn whispered. Bryce was sprinting up the stairs, to Jessica's office. Only synth fueled that sprint. Only that kind of drug could override pain and reason. Bryce set Syrinx on the ground as she entered the office and then leapt over the desk, to the disassembled gun mounted on the wall above it. The Godslayer rifle.
She's going to kill him, Rune whispered. She's going to kill him for what he did to Danica and the pack.
Before she succumbed to the synth, Bryce would offer her friends nothing less than this, her final moments of clarity, of her life. Sabine was silent as death, but she trembled wildly. Hunt's knees buckled. He couldn't watch this, wouldn't watch it. Micah's power rumbled in the library, parted the water as he plowed across the space. Bryce grabbed the four parts of the Godslayer rifle mounted on the wall and chucked them onto the desk, unlocked the safe door and reached inside. She pulled out a glass vial and knocked back some sort of potion, another drug? Who knew what the sorceress kept in there? And then pulled out a slender golden bullet. It was 6 inches long, its surface engraved with a grinning winged skull on one side. On the other, two simple words, memento mori. Remember that you will die. They now seemed more of a promise than the mild reminder from the meat market. Bryce clenched the bullet between her teeth as she hauled the first piece of the rifle toward her, fitted the second. Micah surged up the stairs, death incarnate. Bryce whirled toward the open interior window. She threw out a hand, and the third piece of the rifle, the barrel, flew from the desk into her splayed fingers, born on magic she did not naturally possess, thanks to the synth coursing through her veins. A few movements had her locking it into place. She ran for the shattered window, assembling the rifle as she went, summoning the final piece from the desk on an invisible wind, that golden bullet still clenched in her teeth. Hunt had never seen anyone assemble a gun without looking at it, running toward a target, as if she had done it 1,000 times. She had, Hunt remembered. Bryce might have been fathered by the Autumn King, but she was Randall Sulago's daughter, and the legendary sharpshooter had taught her well. Bryce clicked the last piece into place and dropped into a slide, finally loading the bullet. She careened into a stop before the gaping window, rising onto her knees as she braced the Godslayer against her shoulder. And in the 2 seconds it took Bryce to line up her shot, in the 2 seconds it took for her to loose a steadying breath, Hunt knew those seconds were Lahaba's, knew that's what the sprite's life had bought her friend, what Lahaba had offered to Bryce, and Bryce had accepted, understanding. Not a chance to run. No, there would never be any escaping Micah. Lahaba had offered Bryce the 2 extra seconds needed to kill an archangel. Micah exploded out of the iron door, metal embedded in the wood paneling of the gallery. The governor whirled toward the open front door, to the trap Bryce had laid in opening it. So he wouldn't look up, so he didn't have time to even glance in Bryce's direction before her finger curled on the trigger. And she shot that bullet right through Micah's fucking head. Chapter 81. Time warped and stretched. Hunt had the distinct feeling of falling backward, even though he was already against a wall and hadn't so much as moved a muscle. Yet the coffee in the mug on the nearest table tilted, the liquid endlessly rocking, rocking, rocking to one side. The death of an archangel, of a world power, could shudder through time and space. A second could last an hour, a day, a year. So Hunt saw everything, saw the endlessly slow movements of everyone in the room, the gaping shock that rippled, Sandriel's outrage, Pollux's white-faced disbelief, Rune's terror. The Godslayer bullet was still burrowing through Micah's skull, still twisting through bone and brain matter, dragging time in its wake. Then Bryce stood at the office's blown-out window, a sword in both hands. Danica's sword. She must have left it in the gallery on her last day alive, and Bryce must have stashed it in Jessica's office, where it had stayed hidden for 2 years. Hunt saw every minute expression on Sabine's face, the widening of her pupils, the flow of her corn silk hair as she reeled at the sight of the missing heirloom. Bryce leapt from the window and into the showroom below. Hunt saw each movement of her body, arcing as she raised the sword above her head, then brought it back down as she fell. He could have sworn the ancient steel cut the very air itself. And then it cut through Micah. Sliced his head in two as Bryce drove it through, the sword cleaving a path into his body, peeling him apart. Only Danica's sword would do for this task. Hunt savored these final moments of her life before the synth took over. Was this the first sign of it? This madness, this pure, frenzied rage? Bryce, his friend and everything they had that was more than that. She was his and he was hers, and he should have told her that, should have told her in the Comitium lobby that she was the only person who mattered, who would ever matter to him. And he'd find her again. Even if it took him 1,000 years, he'd find her and do everything Sandriel had mocked him about. Bryce still leapt, still kept cutting through Micah's body. His blood rained upward. In normal time, it would have splattered, but in this warped existence, the Archangel's blood rose like ruby bubbles, showering Bryce's face, filling her screaming mouth. In this warped existence, he could see the synth heal every sliced, bruised place on Bryce as she cut her way down through Micah, cut him in half. She landed on the green carpet. Hunt expected to hear bone cracking, but her calf was wholly healed, the last gift of the synth before it destroyed her. Yet in her eyes, he saw no haze of insanity, of self-destructive frenzy, only cold, glittering vengeance. The two halves of Micah's body fell away from each other, and Bryce moved again. Another swipe, across his torso, and then another to his head. The red alarm lights were still blaring, but there was no mistaking the blood on Bryce, the white shirt that was now crimson. Her eyes remained clear, though. Still, the synth did not take control. Hypaxia murmured, "The antidote is working. It's working on her." Hunt swayed then. He said to the witch, "I thought you were only sending over the venom." Hypaxia didn't take her eyes off the screen. "I figured out how to stabilize the venom without needing to be present, and I sent the antidote to her instead, just in case." And they'd watched Bryce down it like a bottle of whiskey. It had taken almost 3 minutes for the antidote to wholly destroy the synth in Hypaxia's clinic. Neither Hunt nor the Witch Queen took their eyes off Bryce long enough to count the minutes until the synth had vanished from her body entirely. Bryce walked calmly to the hidden supply closet, pulled out a red plastic container, and dumped the entire gallon of gasoline on the governor's dismembered corpse. "Holy fuck," Rune whispered, over and over. "Holy fuck." The rest of the room didn't so much as breathe too loudly. Even Sandriel had no words, as Bryce grabbed a pack of matches from a drawer in her desk. She struck one and tossed it onto the governor's body. Flames erupted. The fireproofing enchantments on the art around her shimmered. There would be no chance of salvation, of healing. Not for Micah. Not after what he had done to Danica Fendir, to the pack of devils, and Lahaba.
Bryce stared at the fire, her face still splattered with the Archangel's blood. And finally, she lifted her eyes, right to the camera, to the world watching. Vengeance incarnate, Wrath's bruised heart. She would bow for no one. Hunt's lightning sang at the sight of that brutal, beautiful face. Time sped up, the flames devouring Micah's body, crisping his wings to cinders. They spat him out as ashes. Sirens wailed outside the gallery as the auxiliary pulled up at last. Bryce slammed the front door shut as the first of the Fey units and wolf packs appeared. No one, not even Sandriel, spoke a word, as Bryce took out the vacuum from the supply closet and erased the last trace of Micah from the world. Chapter 82. A gas explosion, she told the Ox through the intercom, who apparently hadn't been informed of the details by their superiors. She was fine, just a private mess to deal with. No mention of the Archangel, of the ashes she'd vacuumed, then dumped in the bin out back. She'd gone up to Jessica's office afterward, to hold Syrinx, stroking his fur, kissing his still damp head, whispering repeatedly, "It's okay. You're okay." He'd eventually fallen asleep in her lap, and when she'd assured herself that his breathing was unlabored, she'd finally pulled her phone from the pocket in the back of her leggings. She had 7 missed calls, all from Jessica, and a string of messages. She barely comprehended the earlier ones, but the one that had arrived a minute ago said, "Tell me that you are all right." Her fingers were distant, her blood pounded in her ears, but she wrote back, "Fine. Did you see what happened?" Jessica's reply came a moment later. "Yes, the entire thing." Then the sorceress added, "Everyone at the summit did." Bryce just wrote back, "Good." She put her phone on silent, tucking it back in her pocket, and ventured down to the watery ruin of the archives. There was no trace of Lahaba in the mostly submerged library, not even a smudge of ash. The Nox corpse lay sprawled on the mezzanine, its dried-out skin flaking away, one clawed hand still gripping the iron bars of the balcony rail. Jessica had enough spells on the library that the books and the small tanks and terrariums had been shielded from the wave, though their occupants were near frantic, but the building itself. The silence roared around her. Lahaba was gone. There was no voice at her shoulder, grousing about the mess. And Danica. She tucked away the truth Micah had revealed. The horn on her back, healed and functional again. She felt no different. Wouldn't have known it was awake were it not for the horrific blast the Archangel had unleashed. At least a portal hadn't opened. At least she had that. She knew the world was coming. It would arrive on her doorstep soon. And she might very well burn for what she'd just done. So Bryce trudged back upstairs. Her leg was healed. Every ache was gone. The synth was cleansed from her system. Bryce puked into the trash can beside her desk. The venom in the antidote had burned as fiercely as it had gone down. But she didn't stop. Not until there was nothing left but spittle. She should call someone. Anyone. Still, the doorbell did not ring. No one came to punish her for what she'd done. Syrinx was still sleeping, curled into a tight ball. Bryce crossed the gallery and opened the door for the world. It was then that she heard the screaming. She grabbed Syrinx and ran toward it. And when she arrived, she realized why no one had come for her, or for the horn inked in her flesh. They had far bigger problems to deal with. Chaos reigned at the summit. The Asterion Guard had flown off, presumably to get instructions from their masters. And Sandriel just gaped at the feed that had shown Bryce Quinlan casually vacuuming up the ashes of a governor, as if she'd spilled chips on the carpet. She was distracted enough that Hunt was able to finally move.
He slid into the empty seat beside Rune and Flynn. His voice was low.
This just went from bad to worse.
Indeed, the Autumn King had Declan Emmett and two other techs on 6 different computers, monitoring everything from the gallery to the news to the movements of the Ox through the city. Tristan Flynn was again on his phone, arguing with someone in the Fey command post. Rune rubbed his face.
They'll kill her for this.
For murdering a governor. For proving a sprite and a half-human woman could take on a governor and win. It was absurd, as likely as a minnow slaying a shark. Sabine still stared at the screens, unseeing as the ancient prime, currently dozing in his chair beside her. A tired, weary wolf ready for his last slumber. Amelie Ravenscroft, still pale and shaky, handed Sabine a glass of water. The future prime ignored it. Across the room, Sandriel rose, a phone to her ear. She looked at none of them as she ascended the steps out of the pit and left, her triari falling into rank around her, Pollux already mastering himself enough to recover his swagger. Hunt's stomach churned, as he wondered if Sandriel was moments away from being crowned Archangel of Valbara. Pollux was grinning widely enough to confirm the possibility. Fuck. Rune glanced at Hunt.
We need to figure out a plan, Athalar.
For Bryce. To somehow shield her from the fallout of this, if such a thing were even possible. If the Asteri weren't already moving against her, already telling Sandriel what to do. To eliminate the threat Bryce had just made herself into, even without the horn inked in her back. At least Micah's experiment had failed. At least they had that. Rune said again, more to himself.
They'll kill her for this.
Queen Hypaxia took a seat at Hunt's other side, giving him a warning look as she held up a key. She fitted it into Hunt's manacles and the Gorsian stones thumped to the table.
I believe they have bigger issues at hand, she said, gesturing to the city cameras Declan had pulled up.
Quiet rippled through the conference room.
Tell me that's not what I think it is, Rune said.
Micah's experiment with the horn hadn't failed at all. Chapter 83 Bryce took one look at the heart gate in the old square and sprinted home, Syrinx in her arms. Micah had indeed wielded the horn successfully, and it had opened a portal right through the mouth of the heart gate, drawing upon the magic in its quartz walls. Bryce had taken one look at what sailed out of the void suspended in the heart gate, and knew Micah had not opened a portal to unknown worlds, as he'd intended. This one went straight to hell. People screamed as winged, scaled demons soared out of the gate, demons from the pit itself. At her building, she yelled at Marin to get into the basement, along with any tenants he could bring with him, and to call his family, his friends, and warn them to get somewhere secure, the bomb shelters if they could, and hunker down with whatever weapons were available. She left Syrinx in the apartment, laid down a massive bowl of water, and took the lid off the food bin entirely. He could feed himself. She piled blankets on the couch, tucking him into them, and kissed him once on his furry head, before she grabbed what she needed and ran out the door again. She raced to the roof, shrugging on Danica's leather jacket, then tying the Fendir family sword across her back. She tucked one of Hunt's handguns into the waist of her jeans, shouldered his rifle, and slid as many packs of ammo as she could into her pockets,